This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We got the PJ Hall going to join us coming up here in half an hour, making his debut on the show. Tigers with a nice win at NC State over the weekend.
At Notre Dame tomorrow night.
They've won 5 of 6. The Irish have won 5 in a row. That's a good, good ball game. Two teams that love to fire it up from three. Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow, though. We got a couple games tonight we've already talked about.
How about Notre Dame came into the ball game Saturday night in Atlanta, averaging 11 threes a game. They only hit 7 and still found a way to win the game.
Well, Clemson did the same thing at NC State.
That's it.
I mean, they made 3 threes, I think it was, against the Wolfpack.
So you know what happens tomorrow night?
They both fired up and make 20 apiece.
And it's an old Memphis Tams, Kentucky Colonels game.
Cougar game. Jumping Joe Caldwell.
Matt Calvin.
There we go.
Louis Dampier. Red Robbins.
First to a $1.50 wins.
Yeah. Think so, right?
They have the potential of lining it up, both of them. So that's an important game. That's one of those games we keep talking about. Teams are starting to piece it together.
Yeah.
Who can continue? Irish won 5 in a row. Feeling pretty good about life.
Sure.
Nice win. You had a game in Atlanta over the weekend and for the Tigers. They had the pause, but all the COVID stuff going on. They lost at home to Virginia, but 5 of 6 for Brad Brunell's guys. That's a big game tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're trying to work out our television schedule tonight. Whether we start with, we're going to start at 7 o'clock. Mike Cousins, Dan Bonner at the Dome for Syracuse Pitt. That's at 7. Then at 8 o'clock here on ACC Network, you got Corey and Dave O'Brien with Florida State Miami. So you're going to have the clicker tonight for an hour.
I'm going to have to jump off the old radio thing here on Sirius XM 84 and hobble up the steps and grab something quick to eat and get my feet up, start a fire, and watch hoops.
All right, so let's go through the conference cuts here. We showed you a little bit of this going to break. These are Zoom calls now with the ACC media. So this is a little different than football, right? Where it was, we got some different feels to this. So enjoy this. We'll start with Leonard Hamilton, who knows that big game's coming tonight against Miami. Very complimentary of the Miami backcourt, even coming up with a name for a new position on the floor.
Well, Charlie is a point guard, but he also is what you call a points guard. I mean, not only does he have the ability to create for his teammates, I mean, when he walks across half court, he's open. And he has unbelievable range. He has courage and toughness, that Chicago tough mentality that he learned playing on the playgrounds in Chicago. I mean, and he's unbelievably quick and fast. But more than anything else, he plays with a swagger, a toughness that he believes in himself. He believes that if you leave him open, he's going to knock it down. If you get too close to him, he's quick and fast enough, he can go blow by you. And for a guy his size, he finishes at the rim, really, in a really highly skilled fashion. And plus the fact he's been through the wars, He's been to several different schools, played at several different conferences. I mean, he's not going to face anything that he hasn't already faced. So he gives them, a really, really unique set of skills. And then you have the Miller, who's come from George Mason, and he's hanging out, knocking down jump shots, and obviously they are a team that's has all the makings of a team that can do something really, really big in the postseason.
There we go, Coach Hamilton.
Great guard play. Yep. You got a shot.
Yep. Jim Larrañaga finds himself top of the league after the win at Duke. Knows Miami hasn't done anything just yet.
The ACC regular season is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And every game is important. And being 5-0 is great, but we got 15 more conference games, and you got to prepare for each one of those. And you never know when you're going to face adversity. COVID or injuries, or playing a team that's really hot, or having a bad shooting night. They just the season is very, very long, and you've got to kind of just focus one game at a time. Our focus right now is on preparing for Florida State.
Hey, Dan Radakovich, we're buds. Can you guys turn the heat on in Larrañaga's office? The coaches bundle. He's the head coach at the University of Miami. Larrañaga's got the parka on. I mean, what's going on
there?
Do you
want to see a still photo of that if we can get a chance?
Holy
mackerel. Larry Neggut looked like he was going with Admiral Byrd up the slope, didn't he?
I mean, McGusty's on with this yesterday. The lights keep going off, and then Larry Neggut.
What is that? What's Larry Neggut wearing?
The Canes are red hot, but Coach is freezing cold.
What was the temperature yesterday
in
Coral Gables? What are we doing?
Holy mackerel.
Dan.
What's snow? What's going on down there?
Don't get Radakovich. I thought Radakovich came on the show when I was away with COVID.
No.
No?
Well, maybe he did. I got to look at the notes. But, man, alive. We got to keep Coach warm, man. His boys are rocking.
All right.
I can't wait for that game.
That'll be a good one. All right, let's move on to Pittsburgh. Similar to last year, despite the struggles of the team at times, Jeff Capel's got another star, John Hughley now, who we told you yesterday, one of the ACC's best shooters, scorers, and rebounders. He talked yesterday about how Hughley's continued to grow and develop.
Well, it's a matter of showing up every day. Like a really, really good player shows up every day and you're trying to get better. You know, he can't be satisfied with that. And we talked about that with him yesterday. You know, he had an outstanding game, but I think there's more that he can do. And it's our job and my job to challenge him to do more and to push him to do more. And I think he's capable of doing more. And so, again, that was a really good performance. But we got to, you know, try to stack days and get better each day.
Gets that Syracuse zone. Hughley could go off again tonight. Would not surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, because of the ability to play in and out, right? I mean, his ability to stand and shoot at distance could be a real issue tonight.
Well, and you know, he's got size and power inside. That's been an issue for Syracuse. And like I said, man, the boys in orange need a win desperately. Yeah.
Backside of the zone will be interesting tonight as Syracuse defends Pittsburgh. Jim Boeheim's one of a handful of ACC teams. Hadn't gotten off to a great start. Boeheim opened up, though, about how he thinks the league isn't as bad as it may be perceived to be at this point in the year.
I don't know. I think we have a good conference. I think the teams are good. I think the teams are a little underrated. I think as the looking back to last year, we had a lot of doubts, and then the teams played well in the tournament. But I think we've got a lot of good teams, and we had some, you know, didn't play well, particularly well in the non-conference part of the year, and that put us in this position. But I think we do have a lot of good basketball teams.
Well, Coach is accurate about one thing: the non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, that creates the narrative. Right?
It did.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And this is conference has always had the great reputation and has been for decades upon decades upon decades. But when you stink it up in non-conference play, people take notice.
Yep.
And I think you see this in the early part now of conference play. When we talk about a team like Miami, get a great win against Duke, and they're still not in the top 25. They've won 9 games in a row. That narrative that people go, oh, the ACC's down. They were down last year. They're really down this year. And
right.
You know, voters and people in the media just get that in their heads and just assume that to be the case without doing a deep dive. The only way, I say it all the time, say it during football, say it during hoops, say it during baseball. The only way to change a narrative, Wes, is to win.
That's it.
It's the only deal. That's it. So for a guy like Jim Boeheim in Syracuse tonight, sub 500, nobody thought that middle of January. Guess what? You want to change the narrative for not only your team but also the league? Go win a game tonight.
Let's go to Winston-Salem here. Steve Forbes, one of our favorites. His team obviously playing well. They've got an international presence on the roster. They got 2 players, Hildreth and Marsh, who were from the UK. And Steve talked about how guys on his team from the other side, from the UK and from Britain, have influenced the Deacons this season.
Yeah, we got a couple guys from England on the team. I made fun of them on the 4th of July. Told them that was the day we kicked you out of our country. They didn't find that to be very funny. Of course, I don't even think they knew what I was talking about. But, you know, Cameron Hildreth is a hard-playing dude. Played with older people, older players his entire life. His dad was a coach. His dad played for Nick Nurse, who's one of my best friends, when Nick started his path over in Europe. You know, he's a freshman. So his time's been a little up and down, but depending on how he plays. But he's had some big moments. Matthew Marsh is a monster. I mean, he's 7'1", 250 pounds. And, guys, he was in our rotation going into the season. And what happened right before he went to South Carolina, We scrimmaged South Carolina mid-October. He got a concussion. He was out 5 weeks. And he just hasn't, you know, it's been hard for him to get back in the mix. He's got a bright, bright future. And so Matthew and those two guys bring a lot. Khadim C is from the Senegal. He's having a heck of a year. Awesome. And he's averaging double figures off the bench for us in league play. He's got great energy, great size. He's 6'10", 230. He's only been to about 10 Division I schools in his career. He's been to the ACC twice. He's been to the big SEC. He's on a tour of colleges, you know. And so we're just glad that this is his last stop on his college tour.
It's like a comedy show. Every time we see Forbes, it's a freaking comedy bit.
Hadeem C's been to 10 schools.
And we got two guys from UK, July 4th. I reminded him we kicked him out of the country. I mean, guy's awesome. It's a comedy show. No joke playing him, though. I'll tell you that much. And nobody having a whole lot of fun taking on the Deeks, but Steve Forbes, now, I'm telling you what, it is a comedy show. We're coach now. He's something else.
Sorry. July 4th, I told him we kicked him out of the country.
They
didn't know what
it was. It's awesome.
Oh. We don't have any, you know, memorable clip here from Josh Pastner's conference cuts, but what we wanted to show you was that Josh Pastner took a page from Mike Bray.
What is this? I didn't even recognize him without the face shield.
Josh Pastner did his ACC conference call yesterday from his car.
It's not a Buick, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Bray's going to be upset that he's using his material.
Yeah. Let me just say this. The ACC teleconference has been going on for years. There is a standard by which all participants are measured. It just so happens that the standard was Bobby Cremins. And you know this story, right? Bobby Cremins once did his ACC teleconference with the media while in the bathtub.
Yep.
And kind of denied it for a little while, but then the media heard the water dripping in the bathtub. And Bobby had to come clean with his friends in the media.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's well there. Thank you. So Pastner from a car, essentially just, you know, carrying on the tradition.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the car interviews. How many have we done? Not only with coaches. I mean, we've done the...
we had Borgalis on the side of the Florida Turnpike. Right? Yeah.
The guy up at Pitt, our man, on his way to go play at Oakmont, was on the Turnpike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did that too, right?
Yeah. Paul. Yeah.
Paul Zeiss. Yeah. He was going to play Oakmont in his car. Mike Braith several times.
It wasn't Oakmont, but we're giving him credit.
Oh, why not?
We've done it.
Kelsey was in an Uber and riding with Katzman one time.
That's right.
Remember, Katzman was driving 95 at a 55 going up 77. Yeah.
Right.
So
we've done a number of car interviews.
We should somebody mobile phone sponsorships. Car sponsorships.
And for that to happen, the sales department would have to lift a finger and
Matt Ryan was going to get a COVID test. He was in a car.
That's true too.
Yeah. Maybe we just show the myriad of people that have come to us from cars.
We have done a lot of car interviews
yeah.
after 540 shows.
There you go.
No doubt.
All right. On the other side, yesterday during our visit, Cam McGusty brought up the Ken Pomeroy luck factor.
Oh, boy.
So, what better time to go back and visit Pomeroy's Are You Lucky? Jeez. Packer's favorite segment of the week is next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Truthfully, you know, I feel like we still don't have the respect that we deserve. Okay. I was actually talking to one of the GAs, and they said on KenPom, we're the fourth ranked luckiest team in America. And I said, what kind of stat is that?
What kind of stat is that?
It's your favorite stat.
Cameron McGusty, welcome to my world.
Don't even start.
What kind of stat is that? That's exactly what I said.
Don't even start.
That was first unveiled on this show to me. I'd never heard of it before.
You know, it was the great Brian Ives that brought it to our attention a couple of years ago, right before we eased into the pandemic.
And Ives, being a North Carolina fanatic,
right,
brought it up only because I think North Carolina at the time had lost.
And so was Boston College. They were one of the luckiest teams.
Yeah, but he brought it up only because I think North Carolina had lost every close game known to man. And then there was this stat that appeared on our show about the unlucky. And I was like, is this a Brian Ives bit? And you're like, no, Pac, this is a real thing. And I went off on it. Like, that's – no, there's no such thing. You either make the shot or you don't make the shot. Got nothing to do with luck.
All right.
Just make a shot.
Okay.
Win a game. Win a close game.
So you're willing to – acknowledge the luck piece.
I just said no. I'm not. I just told. What do you, am I speaking Chinese?
No.
Are you listening? Seriously,
I'm poking the bear. That's all I'm doing. All right. Here's Ken Pomeroy's updated luck standings, and guess what?
So stupid.
Cam McGusty, you're right. Miami's third nationally, and they're the highest ranked ACC team by a bundle in the luck category. Louisville's at 120. Louisville, 126, 136, Carolina, 139, Wake, 142, Notre Dame, 147, Pittsburgh.
You know, what that tells me is it's a lame excuse to come up with stats. I mean, Miami's 5-0 in the league. How about giving them some props for being 5-0 and having some talent, being well-coached, and having good guards, as opposed to going, oh, well, they're the luckiest team in America. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, how's Duke 253? They've lost twice. Ohio State and Miami just luckier that night?
Well, the whole thing's stupid. I guess Bama was unlucky last night. Or did they just get their rear ends kicked? I'm just asking.
And poor Virginia Tech, what have they done to anybody? 347.
I don't even understand it. I don't even understand why you'd even come up with it, much less what it's supposed to mean.
I'm glad we are kind of doing this intermittently through the season just to keep an eye on it for you.
I don't even understand it. I really don't.
Well, I don't think that you have to. You just kind of look at it and go, huh, okay. The efficiency numbers and all the other stuff, that stuff I can buy into. This right here, no shot.
If you tell me, hey, a team is shooting 50% from beyond the arc, you know what? I can draw a conclusion. I mean, that's sure. A really good – I mean, they're making a bunch of great shots, whatever. But that stat right there
– no, I'm with you.
You might as well give me the way, 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 way too early preseason college football top 25 list. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of things that Pomeroy does that are fascinating.
Well, this isn't one of them.
No, this one is a little too abstract. But nonetheless, you see where Miami is. And I think it's funny that McGusty and a GA got in the conversation.
Well,
Providence and Manhattan are the only teams, by the way, luckier than Miami.
I loved Cam Augusti's answer yesterday because it's
what
like
kind he was of stat
reading.
Is that?
He was reading right off my script.
Yep.
What kind of stat is that?
Yep, exactly.
And then he said, "Well, we'll use that to our advantage." And good for him. That's what good coaches do. Hey, you know what, guys? They think we're lucky. That's the only way we're winning games.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Nobody get more fired up than a talented team. We go, "Oh, really? You guys just think it's luck that we're 5-0 in the league, huh? Cool. Well, watch this.
Yeah.
Please." A joke.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of look at and go, you got to be kidding, right? So take all that into account as you look at the schedule tonight, and you also look at the fact that the ACC at this particular juncture has teams that were picked 12, 6, and 8 in the preseason that are 1, 2, and 3 in the standings here in almost mid-January.
Still early, however, you go another couple weeks and everybody's still hanging around. Just saying, we're past the halfway point.
We're the 65th day of the college basketball season.
I just said we're past the halfway point of the college basketball season. A lot of folks don't realize that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of serious now. You know, you had a chance to impress the judges early.
Right.
And if you didn't, well, pressure's on for you to have a great second half. Hopefully you're lucky. What a joke. What a stinking joke.
Oh, that's awesome. That was awesome. The preseason thing is interesting, though, because when we talk about it, we see these schools and we analyze where they may be. But as Mark said last spring, when the portal was becoming a thing and the volatility of rosters in the ACC was readily apparent when it came to basketball, we didn't have a feel for what ACC basketball was going to be until really we saw what the rosters looked like in September when session started for the semester. And now that we're into the season, some of that unknown has become more of a known, at least part of the way. And that's where you have teams who were picked high, Syracuse 7th, who's now 11th, and having a hard time defending, playing Pittsburgh tonight at home.
That's there was somebody on this show that back in April of 21 said, don't bother me until we see what a roster looks like.
That would have been you.
Yeah. And yeah. So, again, here we are as we fast forward the clock now to January of 22, and we're still having the same conversation.
Yeah. The other part about this, and we talk about Louisville, Miami, and Notre Dame in particular, the top three, and Carolina certainly there too. But in the case of Miami and Notre Dame, those are two older teams in terms of the function of college basketball.
Right.
I mean, you've got Goodwin, Hub, Leshesky, and the Yale transfer, Atkinson, who are older guys. You got a freshman. And Cormac Ryan, by the way, who started the other night for Atkinson's a veteran guy, transfer from Stanford. He's a fifth-year guy. So you've got a veteran presence, an age factor in Notre Dame. Louisville, yeah, you got older guys. You got transfers, L. Ellis from the junior college ranks, Jared West from Marshall, things of that nature, plus Malik Williams, who's been there a few years. And with Miami, you clearly have the age factor kicking in there.
Yeah, when you start looking at these standings on the screen here, if you're watching us on television, you go down that left side, you're like, okay, got it. Then you go down the right side. Florida State's the top of the list. That's why tonight's game's so important. I'd even give you a team like NC State. You know, that NC State-Louisville game is one of those kind of games. Can you steal one on the road again if you're Kevin Keats, like they did at Virginia Tech? We've talked about the Hokies situation, off to a slow start at 0-3, even though I think we think they're a talented team. But they're going to have a Virginia club who's starting to shoot the basketball a little better. They didn't do a very good job in Chapel Hill, but they did at Syracuse and they did at Clemson. So, like I said, there's still a gazillion storylines to be determined here within the league. But when you watch these games, again, starting tonight, if you're now just getting into it now the football season's over, man, I tell you, being able to win at home and still a few on the road is going to be the magic formula the rest of this month and all of February.
Yep. When we come back on Packer and Durham, we will head down to Clemson, one of the most improved players in the ACC, standing by to join us next. P.J. Hall and the Tigers take to the road again after a win in Raleigh on Saturday. Next stop, South Bend. We'll talk to P.J. Hall next when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Unlucky is what it is. Packer and Durham.
Stop. Come on. Really? Go ahead.
844-SAY-ACCN. We're going to go down to Tiger Town.
Yeah.
We mentioned tomorrow night, God willing.
Right.
Clemson and Notre Dame get together. The Irish have won five in a row. The Tigers have won five of six. And, Wes, the boys went up to Raleigh, North Carolina, and stole one from Kevin Keats on the road up there on Tobacco Road. And our next guest went nuts, scored 20, was a dominant force inside, and is having a really, really good year.
No question. P.J. Hall joins us from Little John Coliseum this morning. P.J., first of all, thanks for being on the show. What did Saturday mean to you guys? Not only a win, but a road win.
It was definitely a big road win. I mean, coming off that loss to Virginia at home, we needed to go on the road and you know, go and perform. And we went out there. We had a great great game plan, executed, and got the win.
Hey, I only thought the golf team had keys to Little John to get in there bright and early and be able to hang out like that. I thought that was only the golf team. I didn't know you guys had the ability to go in there that early.
Oh, no, man. Come on. Come on. Now, we're in here, you know. We're in here at 5 a.m. We're just trying to get working, man.
Well, I know there were no golfers there. No, that's for sure.
Not at 5 a.m., no golfers.
No, that had to feel good, though, on the road. Like you said, the Virginia game, given the pause that was going on, it seems every team's kind of going through it. Guys were a little sluggish, had a chance to win, but Virginia made more plays down the stretch. But to take it on the road, PJ, that's where you really got to be able to say, guess what? We're going to be a factor in this league. That was a really, really important win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going on the road, you have to win these games that are tough. Whenever you win the 50-50 balls, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Whenever you get down to the 18 games to finish in the league and stuff like that, we have to win those games that people don't expect you to. So to finish in the top five in the league, that's what you got to do.
PJ, I'm going to go back to the win at Virginia before Christmas. Seemingly, that came at a time where you guys were a little bit more of an unknown. You had lost the tough one at Miami in early December. To go to Virginia and win, and I know the Cavaliers, because of the break in the schedule, you missed a couple. You come back and you play Virginia. They won the game at Little John. But does the win at Virginia do something for the mentality of this team? after the way the season started, where you guys were having some bumps and things like that? Did it mean a little more?
I mean, it definitely meant a lot to us. I mean, in the beginning of the season, we had a few games that we, I mean, really just gave away. We had some second half leads that we ended up losing. So going up to Virginia and handling a lead in the second half and making sure that we put them away early, that felt really good for the team. It gave us some good confidence leading into the break. Coming in, we were ready for Duke, and then you know, the COVID pause hit, and we got back on the road after the Virginia loss, and it definitely gave us a lot of confidence. Even though we lost that tough one at home, it still gave us a good boost.
You know, Tim Bray's got all kinds of unbelievable stats. Sent me one this morning. Assuming you win tomorrow, which is a big if, because Notre Dame's a good club, especially at home. But if you get that one tomorrow, that's three consecutive ACC road wins. That's not been done by a Clemson men's basketball team in 25 years. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, that'd be huge for us. But, I mean, honestly, we just take it one game at a time, whether it's a home win and a road win. When we win tomorrow, I mean, that's kind of the game plan, and we're going up there expecting a win, and that's what we plan on coming home with. So, honestly, wins are what's important to us, and that's all we think about on the road.
I'm curious about your individual move from freshman to sophomore season here. There are a couple different areas. One, what do you think the biggest change has been from last year to this year for you?
Probably the transformation of my body. That was a big plan for me over the summer. I had to really cut some fat off and get into a lot better shape to be able to play 30-plus minutes, 25-plus minutes a game. I mean, watching Amir do that last year, I had to really learn from him on how to, you know, be able to handle that role and handle that workload. And so this year, or this offseason, I guess, I was able to really step into the weight room, get on the court, and work on my ability to go up and down the floor for an extended period of time.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're watching the game Saturday, and I'm so used to watching Clemson just bombs away from three. It's kind of cool and unique to watch him go inside to you. I mean, you guys really dominated inside.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I mean, my teammates were looking for me inside, had some good seals, and, I mean, they do a great job of finding me down low. And whenever I'm not in a groove from inside, I know that I can rely on them to definitely hit some marks from outside. I mean, we have some great shooters that can spray the ball, and I definitely trust them outside too. But, you know, it was a good game for me. They found me down low, and it ended up working out.
All right, so when you go inside, there's also this element of your game where you have the ability to step out on the perimeter and shoot threes. Now, you don't overuse it, but I'm curious as to how it became part of what you're doing, because its effectiveness is clear for you.
Yeah, it's kind of always been a part of my game in high school. And so then once I got here, we really tried to extend my range because the three-point line was a little further back. I had to adjust a little bit. But last year, I couldn't really get into a rhythm from three just as I had limited minutes. And this year, Coach Brunell, in the beginning of the season, gave me the green light. So went out there, fired a few off. They went in, and I kept shooting them. Hopefully, I can keep that green light.
Okay, but PJ, this doesn't happen overnight. So in the summer, were we putting a minimum number of shots up? I mean, the individual stuff in the summer is where this gets created, and I think people lose sight of the offseason here. So how much value and how much work went into the improvement of the three-point shot for you?
Oh, a lot. I mean, in the offseason, we were doing a lot of workouts, whether it was interior, exterior, on the perimeter. Me and Coach Dean were always in the gym working on three-point shots, whether it's transition, pick and pops, screen and pop back, all that kind of stuff. We got hundreds and hundreds of reps every day, and that's honestly what led to me being able to knock it down and my teammates finding me.
The game tomorrow night, I mentioned I'm so used to watching the Tigers bombs away from three. So does Notre Dame. But both teams got wins on the road without having to make a ton of threes, which is kind of unusual based on the trend. What are your expectations of the type of game we're going to get tomorrow night in South Bend?
My expectation is there's going to be a lot of threes put up. And so one thing you got to really do is limit touches, limit three balls, and make sure that whenever you do get a good contest, you make sure that you can stop them from falling. If they get them off and they don't fall, that's a good thing for you. But, you know, making sure they're good shooters, aren't getting good looks, and that we are. Making sure that we're getting good looks, inside-out threes, driving kick, draw twos, all that kind of stuff. You just got to make sure that you're not taking the bad ones.
PJ, we put so much emphasis on scoring the ball sometimes, yet you guys have quietly become a pretty good defensive team. I mean, opponents are barely shooting more than just about 42% in conference play. The three-point number's down to about 33% in your conference games. How big a factor is the improved defensive end of the floor for Clemson?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, Coach Brownell is always – he's honest about defense. I mean, whenever you have a bad shooting night, you should still be able to win just off your defense and off your effort on the defensive end. So in the past, we've had great defensive teams, and earlier this year we had some games where we scored 75 and we were still losing. And, I mean, if you score 75 in conference play, you can't lose the game. And so we had to really step it on the defensive end, and I think that we've done a good job. And honestly, we can just keep getting better from here.
PJ, there's always interesting storylines in a conference, whether we're talking about the ACC, the Pac-12, or anybody in between. You guys have had a chance to play Miami, probably a game you look back and say, son of a gun, we had a chance to close it out about 5 minutes to go, but Miami made enough plays down the stretch. They're on top of the league as far as the conference standings. What did you sense when you played Miami? And what else have you seen in the league that surprises you?
When I played Miami, I sensed that they were very underrated. They have a lot of playmakers, a lot of shooters outside. And I mean, you got players like Wong and Miller that make huge plays down the stretch. Magusta, he's a great player too. So whenever we're in that that 5 minute stretch, I mean, we're going down the court and you can feel that momentum shift, and all you're doing is you're scratching and clawing to make sure you don't lose the lead. And they made some plays down the stretch and ended up winning the game, and you got to feel in a sense that they were going to be a good team. You look at preseason rankings and all that kind of stuff for the conference, and you know, like, I think they were something like 12th or 13th, and that kind of stuff really doesn't matter until you get in between the lines, because once you get in there, it's fair game, and they've proven that.
You know, it's interesting. Your story's fascinating. Obviously, you played at Dorman in Spartanburg. You elected to stay in the upstate to go to school. You had a chance to go anywhere you wanted to go, but how important has it been to be close to home and be part of that Clemson program for you?
Man, it's been awesome. Being near my community that I grew up, being near my family, they can come see all my games at home and stuff. It's been a true blessing. God has really blessed me with the chance to play in front of great community, great fans, and it's awesome walking into this type of atmosphere, because a lot of the people know me from my high school. They saw me grow up playing, and it's been a true blessing.
All right, who's the coolest athlete that you've met at Clemson? You cannot name a player on the basketball team. Who's the coolest athlete on campus?
Coolest athlete?
Yeah.
He can't name the GA either, because he thinks he's cool he's not cool.
Will Durham is not eligible for this answer.
I'm gonna be wrong if I don't say my girlfriend playing for the volleyball team. She's pretty cool. She's pretty cool.
Smart answer.
Well, we got to have a name here, Coach. That Come on, you just good. Can't say your girlfriend playing for the volleyball team.
Renwick.
Okay, that's a smart move.
That's a really good move, my man.
Because let me tell you something. Had he gone, oh, yeah, Valerie Cagle softball. Let me tell you something.
That doesn't work.
You'd be getting a text message in about 12 seconds.
Yeah. all right, couple things here. Your dad is a basketball official, has been for a long, long time. Your sister played volleyball at Florida. I think you had a brother also played D2 basketball, right? So you come from a fairly athletic family. How competitive does that deal get when you guys get around?
Very, very competitive. It doesn't even matter if it's sports. You know, I mean, we over the Christmas break, we everybody was home, and we go in the basement. My brother wanted to set up the old Wii gaming system, and we put in a game, and we're in there, and we start arguing, we start getting into it, it's getting heated. So I mean, it doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're trying to get to the front seat of the car or anything. It gets really competitive, and those games growing up in the driveway were not easy, especially being, you know, the baby in the family.
I'm going to give you the traditional question here. We do this with every student athlete, and since you're making your debut today on the program, since you've been at tremendous Clemson University as an alum.
Yes, yeah, I was getting ready to say.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to wonder if his class is the same as your class.
Well, it could very well be. All right. Want to know, PJ, since you've been in Tigertown, what has been your hardest class?
This is going to sound really weird, but I swear this is probably the hardest class I've taken my entire life. It was world history, and I didn't know anything. I went in there, it's like, because I know American history pretty well, and it's like, what was the problem with the agriculture and the 1700s China? And I'm like, dude, I have absolutely no idea. And so it was definitely a problem for me. Going into that class, it was online, so it was hard for me to pay attention in class, and because, you know, it's on Zoom, I got ADD, all that kind of stuff. So it was definitely a challenge taking that class, but I got it done.
I figured you got it. What is your major for that to be on the prerequisite?
That was a gen ed, and so that's something I had to say. But I'm a sports communication major. I want to go into broadcasting, you know, something like y'all are doing.
You don't want this job.
No, it doesn't. You want to make money.
It doesn't pay.
PJ, you want to make money. You don't want to. Yeah, come on now. You want real
money. I'm not about the experience.
You know what you need to get into? Agriculture in China.
All right, PJ, take a coat. You're going to need it tonight for the trip to South Bend, because when you get off that plane, it's liable to be single digits up there.
Could be brisk. Could be brisk.
Yeah. Good luck tomorrow night. Been fun watching you guys. Take care, okay?
Hey, y'all be good.
You bet. Appreciate the time. PJ Hall.
Yes, sir.
That was fun.
I'd say
sports communications wants to be
everybody wants to be a
how many people have come right out? Yeah, I just want to sit right there in the basement.
Yeah, come on, bring some treats for the dogs. Yeah. You can be a co-host tomorrow.
Sorry Chester, didn't mean to bother you.
You know, I say this all the time with the show. This is 540 versions we've done of this thing on television. The student athletes in this league are awesome.
Yep.
I can't emphasize it enough. I mean, every time we do this and I go down the list and say, oh, today's guest lists are A, B, and C, and they're new student athletes. I get excited because there are so many cool storylines. And the student athletes in this league are just great.
Yep.
I mean, they're great conversationalists. They have a terrific background story. And you learn something from all of them. And when you're watching the games now, I think if you're a fan, I don't care who you root for, you may watch our show and go, oh, man, Cam Augustine, man, he was funny the other day. You may be watching the game tonight.
Yeah.
Or P.J. Hall tomorrow night against Notre Dame. You'll go, oh, yeah, I saw P.J. on the show. He was terrific. It's just a cool thing, I think, about this league that really does separate itself. The student-athletes in this conference are out of sight.
Yeah, one of the real blessings of what I get to do is when you go on the campus to do the games, you get to either watch a practice session or speak to some of these kids, and they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, the storylines are unbelievable. It's a real treat in football. We get to do the shows like we did in October, obviously, at basketball. We get to do the shows in football, things of that nature. It's always great to have the student-athletes on. We appreciate P.J. Hall joining us on the show today, and Cameron Schwartz, too, from Boston College, right?
Tremendous.
When we come back, a little side note yesterday to all the stuff about the college football playoff and everything else. We'll tell you about the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame announcements and get you set for the night in basketball. Final segment coming up on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget Thursday night on ACC Network, we got a double dip of women's hoops. Number 16, Duke welcomes Liz Kitley and Virginia Tech to Cameron at 6 p.m. That'll be followed by Florida State's visit to number 15, Georgia Tech in Midtown Atlanta. Thursday night, women's basketball doubleheader, 6 and 8, followed by nothing but net on the ladies' night right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Me and Brother Fuller over here, just in case we're reuniting after 3 weeks.
You, man. Yeah, seriously, it's been a long time.
It's been 3 weeks.
They barked when you pulled in this morning.
Man.
It's been a while since they saw your headlights.
Like I was an intruder.
Personal parking spot back.
Brother Fuller's back. Chester, all excited on the Jim Phillips blanket, the Roger Goodell chair.
That's it.
Yeah. Yesterday, as part of the national championship in Indianapolis, the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame releases some of the Hall of Fame class for 2022 that will formally be inducted, by the way, next December at the annual awards meeting. Part of that 2022 College Football Hall of Fame class is a bad man, a bad man. The Shade Tree, Marvin Jones of Florida State, who had 369 tackles, 27 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 3 interceptions, and led the country in fear, will be inducted next December. Look, I'm just telling you, the 2-time consensus All-America, the Butkus Lombardi winner, 4th in the Heisman. Look, I'm just going to make this as simple as I can. He was there at a time when Marvin Jones was the Shade Tree and Derek Brooks, and it was just a lot of intimidation. Cats get off the bus, they put on that uniform, and they'd walk in the stadium, and you're like, we got to stay away from 55.
I mean, look at the size of the pads, too. It was
just
a
look at the
era.
Guy.
Yeah.
Fourth pick in the draft, all 11 seasons with the NFL Jets. There is, and you may say, why now? Why? What took so long? Well, There's an honors court. There's all sorts of other things that go into the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame. But congratulations to the Shade Tree. Oh, boy.
He is. He will become the 10th Florida State football member of the hall and the fourth off that team. That should tell you something, too.
How goes that team?
Yeah, they were special, dude. That was, and they had the cool gold helmets.
Yeah, they did. The BB gold?
Yeah, the BB gold. They need to go back to those. I don't know what's taking everybody so long down there.
Maybe we get Norvell on that.
I'm just telling you, Florida State, man, they used to come in with those BB helmets and speed.
Can we run that picture?
They just looked fast.
Can we just run that graphic one more time that's got him in the jersey? Because there are a couple things about that jersey I want to point out to folks. This shows you where technology is, okay? Because you're going to see this jersey, and this jersey, look at the jersey's got the mesh.
Yeah.
Come on now. We don't have all that dry fit technology and take the sweat away. We're wearing the mesh, right? And the big spear on the side of the helmet. There's that BB gold you're hyped up about.
I liked him, man. Those units back then were sweet.
The mirror, hey, he was one of those early guys with the visor. Brooks played with one too.
They
bad cats now.
Dude, when your nickname's the Shade Tree,
you know you're a player.
Well, you either know that or somebody can't wait to kick your rear end, and nobody kicked his butt. No, he was a grown
absolutely
man.
Not. Absolutely not. All right, basketball schedule time. We do have one women's game available on the app. Georgia Tech, Nell Fortner's team, who we're talking about playing Thursday night at Pittsburgh. So that ball game will be available to you on ACCNX. Over on ESPNU tonight at 7 o'clock, Pittsburgh visits Syracuse. Mike Cousins, Dan Bonner will be there for that call. Orange favored by BPI. 85.4%. That has not changed in our 3 hours.
I'm sure they were last year, too, when Pitt swept them in the series. So Pitt's coming off a win. And it seems like every game they play is close.
Mm-hmm.
Syracuse, hey, we going to finally turn this thing around or not, Coach? Just asking. Man, I was hiring you guys for the season, had you in the upper third.
Right.
Sub 500. January the 11th. Got to start winning some games.
8 o'clock tonight, Tucker Center, Tallahassee. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander, courtside in Tallahassee for Miami. Off the Duke win, visiting Florida State.
Canes 5-0, top of the ACC. Pleasant surprise, great guard play. Florida State, really young, has dominated the series of late. They've won 7 consecutive. They're normally untouchable in the Tucker Center. Only lost at home to Syracuse. You got to go way back to find another one. They're normally dominant at home. Can Miami continue this feel good? Hopefully Jim Larranaga has gotten rid of the parka. They'll have the heat on the Tucker Center. And I can't wait to watch that game because I know that place will be hopping. Florida State will be excited see Miami.
Did you see Saturday night there? Those people were ready.
Yeah, I mean, it's Louisville, man. It was a big game.
Yeah.
So I think Florida State's starting ready to get – I sense – we all thought they were going to be talented. We knew they were going to be young, but that's a talented group. And they looked the part in the first half against Louisville, and then the Cards made a run. Tight game, and then Florida State pulled away late. But that will be hopping tonight in Tallahassee.
Knowles hit 8-3 Saturday night against Louisville. They shot 46% in the win against the Cards, who also hit 8-3s and shot 41%. Florida State won the turnover battle. Tonight, the turnover battle. Remember, Miami had 15 steals at Duke the other night.
Yep.
15 steals. In terms of that Pitt-Syracuse game, we mentioned John Hughley, and rightly so. But Jamarius Burton is somebody you got to keep an eye on tonight for Pittsburgh. Got to keep an eye on a guy. He's the back. He could potentially be the backside of the zone. If Hughley's on one side, Burton's on the other. Could be a slash against the zone on the backside.
Well, Hughley went for 32-13. Against BC and against that zone, he's a big body. So tomorrow we will have some storylines for the show tomorrow, guaranteed.
Pittsburgh won the boards the other night against Boston College by 11. They were -6 in turnover margin, but they won the boards by 11. We will keep an eye on that stat and more. Report back to you tomorrow morning. And by the way, we got more games tomorrow night.
That's right. Abundant, great schedule tomorrow night.
Oh my God! Tomorrow night is a handful of games, right? Be unbelievable what we got going.
Yeah, that Clemson Notre Dame game to me is the one to really keep an eye on tomorrow night.
Tomorrow we also kind of start a little thing we're going to do through the winter. ACC legend J.J. Redick on this show. Catch and shoot monster.
And boy, could he.
Yes, sir. Thanks to Cameron Schwartz, Adam Rittenberg, PJ Hall, and to you for being a part of Packer and Durham. Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Chrissy Velez, the brains of the operation. We'll see you in the morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.